This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4 o'clock here in the Bayou City. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. Our sponsor today, the Belleville Meat Market, Boyd's One Stop, and Bayou City Angler. All right, weather. It's 83 down on the island this morning in Galveston. Looks like today thunderstorms this morning, then partly cloudy during the afternoon hours with a high of 86. Southeast winds 15 to 25. That rain chance is 90%. Yesterday morning, this forecast showed about a 40%. So, anyway, tonight looks like mainly clear, low near 80. South-southeast 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, rain showers early with some sunshine later in the day with a high of 86. South-southeast winds 10 to 20. That rain chance tomorrow is 40%. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We have a high coming up at 5:08 a.m. It's a 1.5. A low at 10:54 a.m., a 1.0. A high at 4:46 p.m., a 1.6. And then a low at 11:07 p.m., an 0.8. 7:07 a.m. is sunrise. 7:17 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase, 1%. New moon tomorrow night. And current conditions, looking around, wave heights offshore 2 feet with a period of 5 seconds. Galveston is showing a south wind at 5 to 8. Eagle Point showing a south wind at 8 to 9. And Morgan's Point up in the north end of the complex is showing a south wind at 5 to 9 miles per hour. So, chance of rain. A lot of people would love to have some. All right, well, let's go on down the coast now. Let's start off in Port O'Connor this morning with Captain Kim Golden, see what she's up to this morning. Kim, good morning. What's happening?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you this morning?
Couldn't be better. It's my Friday. It's Sunday.
Right. It's a great day. It's already a great day. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Love having you. Well, how you been doing? You been catching a few fish?
Been doing well. Been doing some fishing, and I'm happy to report we've had an improvement since the last time I was here. We have continued to have a really nice topwater bite. It's worked out well with some of our conditions. It's not only hooked some fish, but it's hooked a few first-time waders, which has been a lot of fun.
Well, that's your job.
That's right.
We show them how to do it and get them hooked on the sport, ruin them for life.
Show them how to do it and let the fish handle it from there. Yeah. That's exactly right. So I not only did her fish get hooked, as she did too, and that's a good combo.
Cool.
We have a lot of water here this week, still a lot. I don't know about y'all there, but our water level is high. It's
bull
even
tides.
A little higher than the last time, bull tides. We are wading up in areas that we just never even give a second look to most of the time, finding our fish holding over sand pockets and grass beds, but up high on the flats.
Right.
And our flats continue to be loaded with bait. We are stacked with bait here. It doesn't matter where I go. You can just feel that the stage is set for fall. Two things you said in your opening, the return of the southeast winds and the new moon caught my attention.
Yes.
So I am very much looking forward to those two things being a part of this upcoming week.
Great.
Very much so.
Now, got to give our fishermen bites. Some hope with the weather forecast or tide forecast, moon phase, all of it. It all plays into what we do.
It is. And I know last week I talked about our bite being tougher, and we've certainly had lulls in our weights this week. Mm-hmm. I'm not real sure that the opportunity, though, has changed. What we did was different. So we focused on lures that would snake through grass really well. We have a lot of grass hanging. We've had it on top, hanging mid-column, and down on the bottom when it settles there. Mm-hmm. A lot of our good trout have been low. It's been a little difficult to get a lure down to them and not have it tangled up in the grass. When you could, you had a shot at a decent one. And if not, well, you just took the grass off and tried again. We focused a lot on some smaller single-hook topwaters that would just snake right through that grass for us,
mm-hmm.
let us get those lures back up in areas we had not been able to target before, and that paid off well for us.
Well, single hooks on the topwater. I hadn't ever had to do that much, except when I come down that way. And it's definitely different. You get used to working a certain topwater, the way it reacts and how you walk it with treble hooks.
Yes.
And then when you put on straight hooks, it changes action. You got to do a little bit different with it to get it to wag right, or however you like to work it, you know.
That is exactly right. And absolutely, in these calm conditions, we have slowed them down. Just slowed them down.
Yes. That's a good point. A lot of people overwork their topwater when it's dead slick like that. They put too much action on it, and slowing it down. Bingo, Johnny, as they say.
Exactly. It's just been so, and we had some really spectacular blow-ups that didn't connect. And
right.
It was almost okay. We didn't connect, but the show was so great that we were appreciative of just the effort, and we went on and tried to target another one. We didn't get, in those slick, calm conditions, we didn't get a whole lot of what felt like a second shot at a fish. Felt like we either got it or we didn't on the first offer, and then we had to move on to the next. But targeting those sand pockets and those grass lines were just very, you know, very effective in staying over that structure. You could almost tell when you got out of it, even if you couldn't see it, your offer would stop. So that's pretty much how important it was that we stayed over that.
Yep, one-hit wonders.
One-hit wonders. That is very true. Another style we tried this week that worked really well is used a real small little mauler and just dropped a really short leader and put that tail under it. And we had some new waders and those new to artificials that kind of helped him keep that lure above that grass line right there. That was a fun and effective way to kind of, have a better shot at a bite in those tougher conditions or tougher setups. So that also worked really well for us.
Yeah, and those more novice fishermen, they can stop that bait, slow it down. They don't have to worry about it grassing up, and a few more positive strikes like that keep the grass
absolutely
off of it.
And keep that mitigates that frustration level, lets you kind of have a good experience. Gaining some confidence in them when you first use them is everything. If I can create a little confidence in the lure right off the bat, that changes the flow. Seems to, you know, that's obviously it's a great thing. Hard to gain confidence in lures if they're not responding to them.
Well, my dad used to get so mad. He goes, "I hate this grass. Y'all love throwing it." I always tell him he'd get so mad when I Well, if you're not grassing up, you're not hooking up, man. You got to get in there and get them.
You got to get in there where they are.
Just like bass fishing, you know.
Gotta That's
get
right.
Got to get in that cover. Same way up here, you know, we have to fight oyster beds, you know, when those trout are down deep, laying on the bottom, and you got to get the bait right in front of them, drop that jig yes. right on top of them. And, hey, if you're not hanging up, you're not hooking up.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes you just got to lay it on their nose. They're an odd bunch, those
yes.
trout.
You know, is your bite window real small right now? I know ours is on trout. I mean, if you know they're there, and you're fishing and grinding on them, and you'll get one here, one there. You know there's way more fish, and you just have to wait it out till they light off. And finally get them a little
yes,
off,
sir.
And you get about a 30-minute window where they're
that
really aggressive.
That is exactly what we have
Same
here right
thing
now.
Down
right,
there?
Uh-huh. Right now, my trout bites early. Now, there's always that one that didn't get the memo or two or three throughout the
sure.
morning or whatever. But the trout bite is clearly early. And then we have a lull. We've had our winds have been so light, and our tide would go slack, and we just have no water movement. So it was just very tough to draw the bite. And then later in the day, once it start going out, it starts slicking up. Everything would get a little snappier. Everything would get a little more reactive. So mm-hmm. that's kind of our two windows right now. And I know that will change soon, but that's just the way it's been in this last phase.
Well, September's never been known for a massive trout bite month anyway. It's kind of I hate to say transitional month, but it kind of is. You know, you're winding down. Days are getting shorter. They're moving a lot, getting established for their fall and winter patterns, and it's just you got to be patient, man. Big
time.
This is
true. This is true, and it's we're just right on the edge of this of it being completely different. I know all of us are have our sights set on fall. If you like to fish and you haven't done it in the fall and winter, need to put that on your short list. That's
yes.
a great time to be doing it.
Yeah, that's my favorite time of year, about November to March. I love it. You know, you do,
yes.
you got to pick your weather days, your weather windows naturally, but, hey, it's worth the wait because, man, it can be epic.
It certainly can. It certainly can. I'm looking forward to some pre-frontal fishing. It's been a while since I've seen that black line of a front
right.
over our shoulder, and we're saying one more cast.
Right.
So I'm ready for a few of those days.
Boy, we've always, all of us have made that one too many cast and
of
getting
course.
Nailed, you know.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
One bit of decent news. Let me look at this extended forecast again and see if it's still on here. Yeah, we have a weak front Wednesday. They're still calling for a weak one, going from south winds to north at 15. And then looks like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday we have north winds behind
that.
It
feels like we have had more north wind than we've had south wind this month. I can't count the
yeah.
number of days I've fished in a north wind this month. It just feels so strange, but
right.
here we are.
Yep. Well, it's a little, you know, you can feel it in the air in the mornings. It's a lot cooler.
Yes.
It's been, you know, getting hot in the afternoons, but that's fishing in Texas. It's the way it is here.
That's exactly right. That's very true. I noticed today we have the return. I saw on the forecast, too, for here, the return of the southeast winds. They're light, but I'm anxious to see kind of what that brings us. So it'll be a little friendlier to our high water wades as far as what we can fish. So we'll see if that doesn't bring us a little better opportunity. Some of the places where we have better trout, we just can't get to them right now as waders.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were drifting over the weekend, you were praying for a breath, praying
yeah.
for a breath of air. I saw some of the boats trying to drift, and I've been there, and I'm thinking you're just hoping anything will come and just push you along. But it was a tough go if you were drifting as well. One thing about that wading with lures that it has let us do is cover some ground and and spread out and take advantage of the fish that are scattered in this high water, because obviously they are. So that has also contributed to having some opportunities we might not have otherwise had.
Yeah, and as that water gets cooler, it won't be long. They'll be ganging up, and then they'll be in good, big, tight school. So
it'll be great.
Make it a lot easier. Then you'll look like a hero every day.
All right,
Kim. Well, hey, good report from down there. Good information. I appreciate it. And if somebody wants to get with you and come down and cut a weight or whatever, how do they get a hold of you?
I'd love that. My website at portoconnorfishandtrip.com gives you everything you need to know. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Thank you to your listeners.
You're welcome.
For spending a little time with me this morning, and I hope everybody has a great day on the water.
You do the same. Catch them up. Good talking to you, Kim. See you now.
Thank you, Captain Mickey. Bye-bye.
You got it, girl. See you. All right. That's Captain Kim Golden down in Port O'Connor. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:17 here on the Bayou City. And real quick, just wanted to put a shout-out to all the good friends and everything of Captain Cajun Phil Broussard. He passed away, man. What a good old guy. Had a lot of fun with him down at Blaine's. And when we were on the road in the Redfish Cups and all that, him and his son Kevin, and real sorry for their loss. We lost another good fisherman there. Great outdoorsman. Captain Cajun Phil Broussard. All right, well, let's head to Freeport now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Jeff Naylor. See what he's, check his pulse this morning. Jeff, what's going on?
What's up, Captain McGee? How you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I'm here. It's all good.
Yeah.
Living the dream, baby.
I know that's right. Yeah. Man, that wind, good and calm this morning. I'm not sure how you looked at the forecast, but seems like it's been pretty slow in the morning. Start ripping in the afternoons. We just got back last night from Port O'Connor. We did a couple day fishing tournament down in Port O'Connor through the weekend for a Dow sanctioned United Way event. Charity deal. So,
yeah.
That was pretty good. Pretty good time. Pretty good time, man. Really good. Really good.
Awesome.
You know, here in the middle of September, and it's not scalding hot. It wasn't bad. You know.
No.
Clear skies. Overall, it was great. Actually, fantastic. So, just doing that, getting settled back in from a late night driving in, and watching the weather windows. As I miss them from time to time. Seems like it's an ongoing deal. You know, still. This summer has just been terrible for me. We can't get it right, you know.
Can't hit it right, can you?
Man, I tell you. You know, you figure you gamble on a weekend or two, you know, at least one or two of them aren't going to be, you know, good fishable weekends. And, heck, it's like every one that we done this year is a good fishable weekend. So, as far as offshore goes. But, it was a great time down there. And, I always love fishing the area, Port O'Connor and Port Lavaca, mm-hmm. and all that. You know, it's a good change. It's I love wade fishing. I really do. And, all the shell bottom and stuff they have over there, it's very enjoyable, to say the least.
I didn't know that about you. I didn't know you like wade fishing. That's cool.
I do. I really do. You know, it's I don't know, maybe it's the bird hunter in me. I don't know. Always have. And most of the times when I go down to Port O'Connor or stuff like that, that's, I tend to wade fish more than anything. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of fish snapping this weekend, though, and it was a great time. You know, it really makes me reflect on the stringer this weekend was two trout, one redfish, and in my mind that really levels the playing field a lot. I feel like, with the advent of, you don't have to have the big trout, you need one good redfish, you don't have to have three or two, it's still tough fishing. I mean, don't get me wrong, but, anybody can, I feel like there's be a little bit more luck in it, But anyways, we ended up getting fifth out of 36 or 37 boats, whatever it was, and we had a great time.
For an offshore fisherman, man.
No, that's heck excellent. No, seems like I missed the mark. I feel like there's lots and lots more tarpon being caught down there in Matagorda and that whole area than. I've seen it a long time, and maybe I'm just, how's Mike Williams and them doing right now? I mean, and Plog and.
Well, Plog, they caught a pretty big one the other day. It looked like a 180 plus, a really good fish. Brian, same way, but it's not near as good as years pass, you just get these cycles of these fish, and some years are better than others. I mean, Port O'Connor area, that's a different animal there. They got the jetties where the weather doesn't affect them as bad. They can get inside of there, and they don't catch as big a fish, but they catch a lot more. And then, things change. Weather's been the biggest prohibitor of really staying on those fish and running them. Because you have to cover so much water fishing out of Galveston. You can either go east or you go west. And same with Brian down there. He's a lot of dredging messed him up early in the year. But, well, they've caught some toads, though. I mean, some really good fish.
Sure.
And, yeah, I mean, it's not lights out when you go out there and go 15 for 20 or 30 for 40, that kind of deal, like we've seen in the past. I mean, that's tarpon fishing.
Yeah, sure. Bit of luck. Yeah, absolutely. But, the fact that they're going as strong as they are, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
which, you know, like I said, that's something that we have not, you know, I think we dabbled in about everything, but that tarpon fishing we have not. And certainly would love to go check it out. But, you know, in the meantime, the offshore guys, you know, they're still crushing it. You know, these guys around here, we got some amazing captains here in Freeport. You know, Garrett and Brian Wilson and you know, Ryan Penzick and even Brian's wife, they're all crushing it. The amberjack season's still going, so they're, you know, out there whacking on some amberjack and getting some vermilion and stuff when they can, and the shrimp boats are still popping good. So yeah. Life has been pretty good this summer, you know, even with the advent of snapper season going in and out, and who knows what's going on. The feds are doing this, the feds are doing that, you know. It's like, you know, luckily Freeport still is an amazing fishery, and when we, you know, it doesn't quite matter if, you know, the feds can't make up their mind. We always go find something. But, yeah, I mean, shoot. You know, Mark Holland, I saw him yesterday, some of his pictures he had down in Maddie and just crushing it, you know. There's a lot of spots to hear. You know, I can't remember a time in years past where there was so much change in some of the deeper rocks as the year went on. I mean, there was a set of rocks out there that were covered in little small sharks all summer, and probably started the end of last summer, you know, just were at right. the point where you couldn't even fish them. They're just full of those little spinner sharks, or Casey called them a particular kind of shark, I'm not sure, but they're kind of small. They only get about 4 foot long, but you know, you drop down a beeline or rig with four hooks on it, and you'll come up with four little baby sharks and six people. You have times six. It was nuts. I mean, they were just covered in them, and they started out that way too this year. And I was thinking, you know, Casey's told me, you know, way back in the day about times when they would have these shark infestations on some of the shallower rock formation. When I say shallow, 150 foot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then he told me at the same time, he said, you know, they come and they'll stay for a while, and then one day they just all go away. It's just like, you know, kind of like light switch.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that's what's happening on, you know, towards the Matagorda way, at least on some of the rocks that I was familiar with having them last year. Now they're just crushing, you know, vermilions and all the stuff. And essentially, the sharks just took off. So very, very interesting how all that plays out sometimes, you know. Why, what, where, how, all big question marks. Just amazing. But, yeah. I mean, everybody's crushing them but me right now, apparently.
Well, man, you had a good weekend in Port O'Connor. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
Better than a sharp stick in the eye, buddy.
Yeah, that's a fact. That is a fact, you know. You're absolutely right.
But, you know, when you fish like that, you're fishing for two species that are slots. And you got to have the perfect red. 27 7/8 would be perfect, and then trout 19 7/8. Two of them, you know, you got to be pretty lucky to get three
That's
perfect
right.
fish like that.
I bet you we mowed through. I mean, gosh, countless.
Right,
and it was a great bite last week or this weekend. It was definitely a good catcher's weekend. Catching weekends, excuse me, yeah. And we had, I mean, you know, I think the winner was about 14 pounds. So that's, I mean, that's saying a lot, you know, that's a big stringer. Yeah. What would that, you know, shoot. I mean, that's a 9 pound red and a couple, two,
well,
threes.
Yeah, at least an 8 pound red and two, 3 pound trout. And it's hard to get down there. Those fish are a little slimmer than they are up here, and it's hard to get two trout to weigh 3 pounds that are under 20 inches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of shrimp moving in the back, though. And, you know, I think that was probably the testament to those, to the big reds. And they were stacked, the couple that were there, you know, big ones. Yeah, they were fatties. Yeah, I mean, it was, you're absolutely right. We had a great time. I mean, at the end of the day,
and for
it was fun. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Port of Connors always put together some, you know, great charity events. I mean, any chance you get to go down there and go fishing for anything, it's awesome. And every time I go down there, a place is just expanding and expanding and expanding. You know, Poco Bueno, you thought was such a big part of that town. And, it, you know, for the longest, I thought, you know, shoot, when they took that tournament away, it's going to really kind of alter what they got going down there, you know. And I don't think it ever stopped them. You know, it may have slowed it down for a year or two, but
yeah,
man, I mean, they just, you know, the housing for some of the big yachts and communities and stuff like that are just expanding and expanding. I mean, it seems like every time I go down there and run the Intercoastal, there's always a new inlet where, you know, they got a new boat dock for, you know, some kind of community, you know, housing community or whatever. And yeah, I mean, it's well and alive down there, that's for sure. There's no question. And that's pretty neat. Just checking it all out is a lot of fun for me. So, but, yeah, you know, it is what it is. You know, moving forward from here, you know, we got about another, you know, our offshore season is coming slowly to an end. You know, it's mid-October. We're going to kind of be toning down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yep. About that time of the year, man. I mean, summer starts so quick and ends so fast. And
man, y'all have such
what
a
happened.
Short window nowadays, man. You know, with the, like the wind blew all summer long. And then finally when it laid down, it laid on down. It was good. But, man, it just cuts your days.
It's tough. It's just getting tougher and tougher.
I wouldn't want to do that. I mean, it just, it, you know, I got a special kind of respect for the guys that do that for a living. I can tell you that. It's tough enough being a bay rat, much less an offshore guy. Good Lord. Let me knock this break out right quick. I'll be right back at you, Jeff. Hang with me, buddy.
You got
it. All right. Well, you know, folks, the Belleville Meat Market is a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, and no better processing is available anywhere that I know of. I've been using them for years, and, hey, deer season's right around the corner. Bow season opens up next weekend. Goodness, it's already here upon us. But the good thing about their processing facility, it never closes. It's open year-round. You know, a lot of folks will have meat in the freezer, and they'll thaw it out and take it in, you know, quartered up, and let the Belleville process them some fresh burger or sausage. All their great products they turn out, like their deer tamales, venison hot dogs. That's a big hit with a lot of families. And check out their new sausage recipe that's available. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And the Belleville's been celebrating, what, over 42 years serving the greater Houston community? That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 4:35 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back and talk some more with Captain Jeff Naylor down in Freeport. All right, Jeff, we're back, buddy.
back in action. Yeah, man, you know, speaking of seasons and things going left and right, and you can't really see straight, is, you know, we right before Amberjack season started, so Amberjack season started September 1st, or, yeah, and at any rate, the NOAA sent us a an email out, everybody that was permit holders, and basically the Gulf Council decided that the, you know, the amberjack quota was too close to being met, and then that probably the closure of amberjack season was going to be pretty imminent. At least the first, if they open it up, it would be, you know, a day long or something, and it would be a very short season. And so, and of course, this all happens like a week before it opens, right? So everybody's got, you know, amberjack trips booked, customers looking forward to it, the whole nine. We come up to the day of. And so, again, the Gulf Council, they just make recommendations to NOAA. NOAA is the one that ultimately writes into law whether the dates are in play or not. Mm-hmm. But, again, they sent it out saying that, it was probably going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but it probably will happen. Come to that day, nothing's ever been said. Nobody would answer your questions if you call them, whether it's open or closed, you know. And here we go. We're into amberjack season. And for as far as I know, there's not a closure in sight. There's not a date now that they have that you know, they're going to try to close it. So,
well, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, what does that even mean?
What are you supposed to do with that, man? I mean, ridiculous. Crazy, you know, and this is an ongoing thing for like the last 2 or 3 years. It's just,
well,
been,
we're probably kind of sort of maybe thinking about closing it. We'll let you know.
That's it. You know, we're so used to it nowadays. Like it's crazy.
And just like the opening, you know, everybody goes, well, we're planning on the opening. They hadn't said anything, so we're just going with it.
Exactly. Right now,
talking about that, like, hey, yeah. we're going amberjack fishing. Hey, they hadn't said one word one way or the other, so we're going.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you supposed to do? What can you do? You know what I mean? Our customers, you know, a lot of customers that, you know, multiple you know, come multiple times each year, you know, that's kind of what they look forward to. They come.
Well, sure. They want the overlap where season. They get their snapper and their amberjack.
Sure. You bet. You bet. And some people come for snapper and they want to turn right back around and come and get some amberjack later on in the season and stuff like that. And, you know, luckily, a lot of our customers have been with us for a long time. So they realize, you know, there's no, we can't do anything about it. You know, we make the best of it. But, yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing to explain, you know, to your customer. Like,
right.
Well, yeah, can't do that. So, you know, and the tough part, really, I think, is you know, let's just say you do amberjack versus a snapper trip. You know, years past, snapper might be, you know, right now you could probably go get some snapper keepers within 30 miles or so. So, I mean, the weather has to be good, but not, I mean, it doesn't have to be stellar per se. You know, if you go after amberjack, however, you know, where you're going to get out of Freeport, we're at least probably 60 miles, you know, sure. to get comfortable. You know, the weather's got to be a little bit better. It just does. You got to go further, you know. So it starts impeding people to be able to go sometimes if and when these things get real turmoil like this. But this is kind of how it's been for as long as I can remember. You know, they, in all fairness, you know, the feds have gotten a lot better at posting things on social media, sending out emails, stuff like that. They used to not do that at all. I mean,
no.
Really, it was a crapshoot. You know, you just really had to, it was a guessing game. You call your game warden buddies, and they basically, they're like, yeah, maybe, not real sure, you know. So, I mean, and you got to call the federal game warden, but, you know, it takes Parks and Wildlife. They don't talk to the feds very much. So it's not, it's tough getting answers out of anybody, really. So, yeah, I mean, you know, to that point, I guess what I was getting at is amberjack season is still open as far as we know. People have been calling me all week long asking me if snapper season and recreational is open. So, and my absolute answer is I don't know, and I'm not sure they do either. So officially I don't think they have closed it, but I've also not heard that in person from any kind of governmental agency. So I would be very cautious. I mean, I tend to agree with people. If you don't see it, it hasn't been announced, and you know, well, your buddy didn't get a ticket for it last weekend. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's open, but you can't get a straight answer out of me because I'm going to, you know, I feel like I'm going to lie to you, you know, one way or the other. So, but that's for recreational snapper season, and it could be open, and amberjack season is definitely open. So those two things are going right now. No, skip, yes, for recreational snapper and amberjack, both snapper and for hire. So,
yeah, but here's the other catch. I mean, if you're fishing for state snapper, then you can't go out in federal waters, right? You got to stay in. If you catch your snapper in state waters, then what? It's against the law to take those snapper with you out into federal waters, correct?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
You know, now here's the real question mark. You know, a lot of people ask the same question. You know, and even one of the federal guys told me one time. You know, hey, if you got four snapper per person and you're in federal waters, even though you caught them in state waters, how can you prove that? Man, that is hard. You know, I give you that. You know, I can show you GPS or meet lines all over it and all that, but, you know, it is tough, you know, so that's what you're going to end up having to do if you do that and per se it was legal. You know, another thing that people do a lot of is they go out and catch bull reds, and then they go out in the federal water and they go catch, water snapper, you know, and it is highly illegal to catch and keep bull redfish outside of 9 miles. Outside of 9 miles in federal water, you cannot fish for them. You cannot keep them.
No.
It's very, very illegal. And so, you know, you take that take that bull red, you go across, try to catch you some snapper or whatever, or, you know, do whatever, you know, you run a very high risk of getting a pretty good little ticket, you know, if you do that.
Well, I saw it run into this in Louisiana in a redfish tournament one time where guys were going back. They took the guff way instead of running the intercoastal and marsh and all that to get back to weigh in. So they cut across the guff, and they had redfish in their live well, but they actually, you know, the demarcation line down there is 2 miles instead of like 9 miles up here or whatever it is. And they exceeded that. They went outside of that line, and they actually ran in federal waters with redfish in their live well and got them DQ'd.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Man. You know, it's another thing, you know, there is some rules for Texas Parks and Wildlife that are different than federal waters.
Exactly.
You know, size limits and this and that. And so, you know, when you go out in the federal waters, let's just say they are less stringent, you know, let's just say, and I'm just using that as an example, you know, fish A has to be 15 inches inshore or inside a 9 mile state water, and offshore it could be 14 inches. So you catch all your fish 14 inches because you're fishing in federal waters. Well, guess what? You still have to cross the Texas line.
Right,
Texas
the state line waters. To get in with, you know. Yeah,
exactly. So all of a sudden you have to have, you know, you have to be legal in the state of Texas as well, you know, both. Those are tough games. And really, to be completely fair, I mean, most of the rules and laws are pretty shared, you know. With the advent of, you know, people ask me all the time that for example, Ling is 34 or 36 inches in state water, 34 inches offshore. And so they're like, well, it's smaller. Well, it's not. So, you know, in offshore, you by the fork length, you know, and by inshore, it's the total
it's
length,
the
right?
Tip
so
the
it's
table.
Actually,
yeah. So it's about
almost identical fish.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, I mean, there's things like that, you know. But for the most part, everybody shares kind of the same rules. You know, there's some shark rules that are kind of tough, and I'd make everybody aware that there is some bag limits and size limits of sharks that differ a lot. You know, obviously, bull redfish not being caught out there. You can't catch any trout in offshore waters. You know, or you know, federal waters. There's a few, but for the most part, they're pretty shared. So, yep, that's kind of the deal, man.
Splitting hairs.
Yep, that's it, man. Always coming up with all, you know, having to figure it all out all the time. It's a full-time job. So
yes.
But yeah, man, we got about another month left of some amberjack fishing, and you know, they're snapping. Everything's going good.
Yeah,
we probably got another four trips on the books, and like I said, we're wrapping up. But for anybody trying to go out there, the shrimp boats are still going off. There's still, you know, lots of mahis being caught, lots of tuna. The tuna haul this year has been really good. I mean, it hasn't been as stellar bite as I've seen it, but you know what, too? Some of my best tuna bites at the shrimp boats have been in October. After that good first cold front or two come through. So I think, you know, if they're biting like they are, I think the best bite's yet to come. I wouldn't get too excited if you didn't get a good run this yet. But and then also too, you know, the shrimp boat I fished a couple years ago. There was a handful of shrimp boats that were out about 130 foot of water, which is really shallow for blackfin. You know, 160 to 200 is where you try to be, and it was the best bite by a long shot. I mean, they were just covered. I mean, just covered. And I think they just didn't have anything else to go hang around except for that, that boat. So
drew them in,
man,
a little bit, yeah.
Woo! Jeez. Like shooting fish in a barrel. Ridiculous. But
always a fun way to fish, you know, pulling up on those shrimp boats.
Oh, man. Doesn't get much better.
No.
You know, that, and you know, it's been years since I've seen a good cobia pack at the shrimp boats, but running a topwater across there and bouncing them real fast and watch those ling dart.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, you know, and that does a blackfin fall right in line with that. You know, you can just get something across the top. I mean, yeah, insane.
I remember we were leaving a shrimp boat one time, and I got both motors fired up. I'm idling off and fixing to put it on the step, and one of my guys hit me on the back, reached across the leaning post, said, "Hey, man, there's a shark following us. Look at this." And I looked back, and it was a giant ling. I said, "Pick that rod up and pitch it to him." He threw it out. I'm still in gear, and he smoked that ling. It was about 70 pounds. He thought it was a shark. I said, "That's a ling, man."
Oh, man. I tell you, I made it a point for years, you know, during my morning meeting, and, you know, I'd tell everybody, "Oh, this is that, and here's everything." But then also, if you see a shark, if we're sitting there fishing and you say you see a shark, you let the captain know instantaneously. More than likely, it's not a shark. It's probably a big ling.
Yes,
you know,
right.
Yeah, and every time, still sitting there, snapper fishing. "Hey, there's a big shark over here. I don't know what's going on. Get him."
Pitch to him.
That's right. Get him in the boat. Get him in the boat. Hurry up. Yeah, I know. Those days are kind of long gone, too. I don't know if they exist anymore. I think that might actually be gone. You know, I hope they do come back at one point, but I certainly have not seen a big pack of ling, you know, a big one like that in a long time. I've seen here recently in the last couple of years a handful, two or three of them hanging out together, but not like that. Geez, I remember pulling up on a boat out here out of Freeport probably, I don't know, it's got to be close to 10 years ago now, but and just looking down, and it was covered. It was just covered in ling. There had to be 50 or 60 of them.
My, never seen that. That's awesome.
You know, and I say, I hope I'm right by saying it, but it was a bunch. I mean, it was a bunch. And we did exactly that. We ran lures right across the top, and they just darted like, I mean, nobody's business. The whole top of the water just lit up, you know.
Man.
It was, but I feel like those days are probably not coming around anytime soon anyway.
What do you think the reason for it?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. You know, and the same thing with, you know, yeah, I think it's going to be an ongoing conversation for a while. Kingfish, ling, what's all happening here? There's a lot of dramatic changes. You know, after I talked to Plog about it. Plog got on the call with me one day, and, you know, we had that conversation about kingfish. And not soon after that, I saw Captain Elliot down here, and he's been, you know, shoot, he's ran the gamut, I tell you that much. And so I asked him about it, and I said, "Man, what is the deal with the kingfish, you know?" And I'd say a lot of people, you know, they I think the general consensus is commercial fishing, you know. It seems like that's a, you know, a very prominent theory. And he said, "Man," he said, "we fished for years and we had a ton of commercial fishermen. Back in the day, in the Derby days, you know, we had 10 boats to every one that there is right now, you know?"
Yeah.
"And they just did not do that much damage. Like a boat that catches fish with a hook and line cannot decimate a population of any species, you know, in his opinion."
I think the biggest
culprit
in this whole thing is environmental and habitat.
I mean, if you kind of look at the major changes in the world, you know, that seems to be one. I think habitat for sure here in Freeport, there's just no, you know, they're ripping all the oil rigs down as fast as they can, and you know, that doesn't help. I mean, is that the reason? I'm not sure, you know. It always seems, It always seems like it's, but it is in fact something that we know is happening. You know, I know that they've been ripping, you know, oil rigs out of the Freeport area for a long time. I saw that. I know that for a fact. Yeah, everything well, else is kind
that's
of
that's habitat. You know? I mean, that's structure that fish yeah. lived on and reproduced on and survived on. Just like, you know, live oyster beds in the Galveston Bay complex. I mean,
sure,
we've seen that make a big change in our fishing, especially our trout fishing.
You bet. You bet. Absolutely. There's no doubt. And a lot of things, too, is that, you know, kingfish, they are born someplace far away from here. They migrate to here. You know, there's migrations that are involved. So it may not even be something that happens here in Texas. Yeah. It could be something that happens, you know, in between their journey somewhere that is affecting them more than anything else. You know, it's so hard to tell. And I asked the biologist same question, you know, and they will quickly tell you up to this very day that there's a population of our fish, our game fish, is better than ever. That we have, and I guess I say that very hesitantly, you know, some obviously not doing as well as others, you know, this and that, but, you know, when they actually go and look at the bases where these fish are coming from and then also where they're migrating to the final destination, they seem to be in good health. So, you know, where are they going in the meantime? I don't know. You know, it doesn't make any sense, you know. I think this is going to be an ongoing conversation.
They work
know,
for the
a
government,
long time.
And they're paid to say that. That's I'm going to leave
yeah,
it
got
that.
Satellite tagging.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, jeez. Buddy. Well, Jeff, that went by quick. Somebody wants to call
right?
you or get with you or check out your website. Give them some info on everything, my friend.
You bet, man. Give me a call back. Call anytime at 979-417-1013 and go to our website, stsladventures.com.
All right,
and we'll
buddy.
Be back next week. I think Casey's going to be back. He told me that the hunting down in South Texas was really stellar this year. Not as great as it has been. Not the very, very best, but really close. So everybody hunting in South Texas, good luck. You're going to have a good time.
There you go. I like what I hear. All right, Jeff. Hey, have a good Sunday. I'll talk to you next week, buddy. Take care.
Okay. Thanks, later. Nick. Bye.
All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.